Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. May God be with you.
Come on, Jesus.
I'm sold out. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1. Are we there? All right, please read for me, whoever is reading.
Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by... Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen. Now, this message that I'm preaching now is a repeat. Somebody once say, I don't like your church because your pastor preaches the same thing. It is well. Repeating is good. Tell anybody, repeating is good. Haven't you noticed when you watch a movie? When you watch it the first time, you think you got everything. When you watch it the second time, you notice something you didn't see the first time. That's the importance of repeating. I don't know how many times I'm repeating the Bible now. And I'm still learning new things every single day. In fact, sometimes I feel like I never read the Bible. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So there's nothing wrong with repeating. And what I'm about to talk about, I recently spoke about it in the fast that we just finished. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible tells us that we have some witnesses. The witnesses that the Bible is speaking about are the witnesses that Paul lists out in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Some great men and women, some people call Hebrews chapter 11 the Hall of Fame.
Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, these are great men and women who did amazing things that make our Christian life seem like we are not Christians. And the funny thing is that we have more grace than them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Moses encountered God so much that the glory of God was seen on his face. To the point that when he went before people, he had to cover his face because it was shining bright. Have you seen a Christian like that in your time? Hey! And we are living in the dispensation of grace. And then they were in the dispensation of grace. That time God was a bit more harsh. Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down and devour you. When Jesus came, his disciples said, Lord, should we call fire to come down?
He said,
this is not a time of calling fire to come down. Because it's a different time period of grace. But those guys who are not living in that time experienced amazing things. Daniel was put in a room full of lions.
Udaniele wathathwa fa emphandweni wengonyama.
Hungry lions.
Zilambile.
I think there's a shop like that called Hungry Lion. I think they got it from the Bible.
Mhlambe bayithatha khona la.
And when Daniel entered into that room, all the lions suddenly felt full.
Zonke ingonyama zavele zasutha.
And when Daniel came out, because there was a conspiracy against him, they tried to get the king of the time to kill Daniel. When he came out, the king realized this was a conspiracy. And he took the people that conspired against Daniel and threw him to the same lions. And the hunger returned.
Indlala yabuya ingonyameni.
And the lions devoured them.
Ingonyama zabagwinya.
That's some serious Christian living.
Ubuzalwane obukhulu obuphilayo.
I listen to what I'm saying.
Amen.
So, these are the witnesses that have gone in front of us.
Ofakazi laba bahambile phambi kwethu.
Who are sitting in heaven and watching our lives as though they are watching a soccer game.
Abahleli ezulwini bebuka impilo zethu ngathi babuke impic bola.
And when we wake up,
ngenkathi sivuka,
and we don't feel like praying,
asizwe ngathi singathanda.
We don't feel like coming to church,
asizwe ngathi singeze sonke.
We don't feel like reading the Bible,
asizwe ngathi singafunda iBhayibheli.
It's like a soccer player who's standing by the goals.
Kuba ngathi udlalwe ibhola ohlele
isikole. And mayethi akahlela shibobo.
If he kicks, it's ibhola
underneath. And then heaven is like, ooh,
izulu lithi eh.
Because they've lived this life.
Ngoba bayiphilile lempilo.
Imagine Apostle Paul.
Awucabange nje uApostle Paul.
He was collecting some sticks of wood. Putting it together to prepare fire. And when he held one of them, unknown to him, he was holding a venomous snake. And the snake latched its teeth into his hand. And pushed the poison into his hand. And the people now were counting down to when is this guy going to die.
Abantu base beqala bebala ukuthi ufa nini ke.
Hour after hour.
I hour ne hour.
Nothing was happening to him.
Akukho kwenzakalayo kuyena.
To the point where they said this guy is a god.
Kwaze kwafika beze bethi lo muntu uNkulunkulu.
I'm not a god, I'm just like you.
Wathi cha ngiyena uNkulunkulu ngifana nani.
But is a person who has God living in him.
Umuntu onoNkulunkulu ophila kuyena ngaphakathi.
Now imagine such a guy is watching you.
Cabanga ke lo muntu ekubuka nawe.
And watching, he's not worried about you going to work and
akandaba na ukuthi uyaphe emsebenzini.
He's worried, he's looking at the acts of God that you are doing.
Ubuka imsebenzi kaNkulunkulu oyenzayo.
We have such a great cloud of witnesses.
Sina labo fakazi abaningi.
May the Lord help us so that when we get to heaven also we can have something to talk with these great people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Then the Bible continues to say that seeing that we have this great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us.
This is his hakileyo.
Hakileyo.
Amen.
It's a serious word that Paul spoke of. Now when he talks about a weight, he talks about there are things in our lives that makes it difficult to run. Those who came during the fasting and praying, I was telling them that if you watch Olympics, and these, especially these ones who run, I think there's 100 meter,
100 meter
and all those types of races. The ladies, they wear a bra and panty. And they are ready to run. Bra and panty. Amen. Why aren't they wearing like we are wearing today? Because they want to be as light as possible. Because they want to be as fast as possible. Now the Bible says we are in a race. But some of us, we are carrying so much baggage. If I'm preaching well, say amen.
Amen.
We are I was telling them that come and see N1 now in December. You will see the cars is as though they are going to fall. The baggage that they are carrying. And we are also carrying baggage like that in the spirit. All kinds of weights that are resisting our running. Making our running difficult. Making us tired in this Christian race. Not running it with flexibility and speed. His He's advising us, the apostle. He said, seeing that heaven is watching us, we have to run this race properly. And if there's any weight that we are holding on to, we gotta let it go, man. Tell your neighbor, let it go, man. You can't run with weights. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then he continues to say that some are not just carrying weights. Some are entangled by something called sin. The amens are starting to.
Oh, amen.
Don't predict my message. Just listen. Hallelujah. So Paul, when he explains sin, he explains it by addictions. An addiction is something that you are doing that you cannot stop doing. So you've become addicted to it. And the apostle explains to us that as we walk or run this race of life, sin has latched itself to us. And the Bible explains that it latches itself to us with speed and cleverly. And those who came, I was explaining to them, if you walk on a field, there are these things that latch themselves to your clothes. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
So sin is like that. You are busy walking. Before you know it, the thing has latched itself to you. So you find that a Christian, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, but has certain addictions that are in their lives. And these addictions Paul says they entangle us.
UPaulo uthi kuthandele kithi.
And when I think of entanglement, I think of roots.
Ngicabanga ngempande.
And how roots go into the earth.
Impande ihamba kanjani enhlabathini.
That if you want to pull up the tree,
ukuthi mawufuna ukudonsa isihlahla,
you cannot do it because it has entangled itself in the earth. Ngikhiphe
ngoba kubanjwe impande emhlabathini.
Are you here? You've gone home.
Ukhona noma nisekhaya.
There are addictions
kukhona ukujova
that we have to let go.
Akumele sikiyeke.
If we have to run this race well.
Masifuna ukugijima kahle kuloko kugijima.
The easiest addiction that most human beings around the whole earth that have currently.
Okulula abantu okubangenayo.
Is cellular phone.
Yila ma cellular.
It has become a serial addiction.
Sokuyiyona ngempela ba addicted kuyona.
I had some people say that.
Ngizwa abantu bethi
a healthy time be watching your phone
is khathe sihle sokubheka iphone
is about 1 hour
I hourly or lotto
like in your 24 hour day
kuma hour akho nje 24
have I said something wrong
ngike ngakusho lokubi mina
hey how many realize that 1 hour you have been going over 1 hour
ababoni ukuthi 1 hour uyayudlule.
Oh, you don't want to lift your hands. It's okay. Hey. So the apostle says if we want to run this race, some of these addictions we have to let go. Hallelujah. So you know me, whenever I read scripture, I want to understand it clearly so that I know what exactly I have to do. So I started a little search to find out what is sin exactly. And thus far, I found 4 scriptures, but today I'm going to tell you about 3. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we don't sleep in Healing Fire Ministries. It's not allowed, please. Tell your neighbor, I'm watching you carefully. So in the Bible, I've seen 4 descriptions of sin. There may be more, but these are the ones I've seen. But today I'm going to share with you 3. I'm just building up to my message, okay? Now, what I have seen is that the Bible teaches us that sin is something that corrupts our character.
Isono yinto ephazamisa ukuvela kwethu.
Our godly character.
Yinto elwa nokubonakala kwethu.
When sin enters us,
ngenkathi isono singena kithi,
it corrupts that godly nature that you have.
Ukuphazamisa lobo uNkulunkulu esinabo.
Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis.
Ngivulele ku Genesis
and read verse 4. Sorry. Genesis chapter 4 and read verse 7. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7.
Genesis chapter 4 from verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.
Sin
is son
is lying at the door.
Sihlezi ngasemnyango.
And what does it say? Its desire?
His desire is for you.
His desire is for you.
Silangazelele wena.
And it says you must rule over it.
Kepha wena mele ubuse phekwaso.
So when I studied that scripture, the Bible The Hebrew definition says that sin is missing the mark. It is missing the mark. How can I explain? Like if you want to shoot here, you miss and you hit here. Missing the mark. All right, let me explain. You'll catch us on the way.
Amen.
When sin enters the human race,
it
influenced our character. That everything that God wants us to do, that has purposed us to do, because of the sinful nature, now it's like almost impossible to do exactly what he wants us to do. We keep missing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when sin enters us, which by the way is already living in us. When you are born, it was already there. Influencing us. Nobody teaches a child to lie. But you see them lying. And some of them are bad, bad liars. I mean, they can eat a cake and there is evidence. And you say, what happened to my cake? I don't know. But the evidence is all over the face and the hands. Hey. And you find it's a short thing like this that is already lying. And I'm sure there is no parent who says, my child, you must lie, okay? We don't train our children to do that. But there is a sinful nature that is within that child. That as the child grows, if we parents are not careful, it will manifest and become stronger and stronger unless we train our children well. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, it is something that is living in us that causes us to always do the wrong thing, miss the mark. So the apostle is saying that if we are to run the race correctly, we have to deal with that thing. Otherwise, you will always miss the mark. Otherwise, you will always see yourself doing the wrong thing. Some people are so deep in it that they enjoy doing the wrong thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. Then the other definition of sin that I saw is in the New Testament in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. The book of 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 4th verse.
1 John chapter 3 from verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness.
Hallelujah. Do you have King James there?
John chapter 3 from verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever committed sin transgressed also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law.
Sin is the transgression of the law. I understand what I'm saying. So law here is the word of God. So, to put it in easy English, sin is disobeying the word of God. Sin is not allowing yourself to be ruled and governed by the word of God. I feel like you are not listening to me. Are you here? Sin
is
disobeying the word of God. Sin is not allowing yourself to be ruled and to be governed by the word of God. Her version calls it lawlessness. Many people who are in prison today are lawless people. They don't want to live a life where they are governed by the rules of the country. They want to watch you wake up in the morning, go to work, it's raining, it's hot, it's cold, you are tired, you wake up to go to work, to fight for your children, to fight for your family, and someone is just watching you. Then when you get your salary, they just come and whip. They are a law to themselves. They don't want to be governed by the laws of the country. And many believers, strangely, do not want to live a life that is governed by the word of God. And therefore, they tend to sin. I'll be watching, you know, a video. Especially since I'm following the war in Israel and Gaza. Hello? And I'll be watching guys talking. And they'll say things like, I'm a Christian. Do you understand? They'll confess it strong, I'm a Christian. Then in that same conversation, do you know when I say toot what it means? They're swearing. And I'll be watching and say, what type of Christian are you? Your tongue is not governed by the word of God. You just say whatever you want to say. I can never understand why we need to swear in this world. It doesn't make sense to me. I can say that, Sihle, I'm angry with you. I don't have to say, I achieve the same thing. I'm not happy, you're not doing this well. There's no need to swear. It has become now part of our culture and language. I always tell the story of when I was in an accident. An 18-wheeler truck hit me.
The truck yonking shies.
I thought that I'm gone. I thought I'm... And as the truck hit me, I screamed,
ah!
I don't know if it was you. What was going to come out of your mouth when you thought that is my last moment on the earth? Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you see someone professing that they are a Christian. But their lifestyle is not governed by the word of God. And therefore, Even though you come to church, even though you say you are a Christian, even though you say you believe in Jesus, but your lifestyle is undoing your confession. In today's time, we can't even trust pastors. There's no more fear anymore. What to Jesus? Shout hallelujah! Then after church, black label.
Imelowood.
What is that? You see, the life is not governed by the word. Are you listening to me, somebody? Therefore, according to Paul, we've entangled ourselves. And we cannot run the race properly. I listen to what I'm saying.
Amen.
I don't want to explain too much because I promised a short message. And finally, the third definition of sin I saw in the Bible talks about separation from God. In Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2.
Isaiah
59.
Isaiah 59 from verse 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear.
Amen. Now this scripture is similar to the one I shared last week, to the message I preached to the husbands. Peter said, so that our prayers will not be hindered. So here the Bible says that when we sin, a separation takes place. And not only the separation, the Bible says that God's face is hidden from you. God is no longer watching your life. The worst thing that can happen to a human being is when they lose their connection to God. Lazarus was the poorest of the poorest. I'm sure when people were making jokes, they were using Lazarus as an example.
Lazarus.
I'm sure that was the culture in the land.
Hey.
But Lazarus had a relationship with God. And when he died, he went to his maker. So when we sin, we get separated from that God. And think about it. Our race is towards God. And then you become separated from that God. Now what are you running towards? Where are you running to? When the person we are supposed to be running to, you're no longer in contact with him. You are separated from him.
So
what are you doing here on earth? You are lost completely. Hello?
Amen.
That's why the apostle is warning us. Let's lay aside these weights and these sins so that we can run the race.
Khona sizokwazi ukugijima lo mncintiswano.
Many of us, when we started in this life, we were running towards God. While we were running, Andlulu Susan. Andlulu Vrupa. Many years ago, we were playing soccer. I'm sure you know that place next to Pick and Pay in Silverton. There's some soccer fields. So when I was younger, we used to play soccer there. And there was a guy, he was a tall guy. He used to be our striker. And we passed him the ball. And then a car passed. He stopped playing the game altogether. And he looked at us, hey, Vrupa, Vrupa. And many of us in this race of life, there are things that distract us, that cause us to lose focus on what we were brought here on earth to do. And you see a human being, instead of chasing their God, they've devoted their lives of chasing Susan and Susan. Someone said, hey! My God, my God, my God. Completely lost. Completely separated from God. Some of them have made it big. But they are completely lost. Completely. I've been amazed in the world. Certain great people, Paul, who make it to the highest heights that you can climb in this world. And then you wake up in the morning, you hear that this superstar has committed suicide. But Mr. Superstar, we all want to be like you. What message are you giving us? The money that you have, we want to have. The fame that you have, we want to have. The house that you live in, we want to live in such a house. The car that we are driving is our dream. When we sleep, we dream it. So what are you saying by committing suicide? And if your eye and your ear is not in tune, then you miss the message that God is trying to tell you. Am I talking to somebody? Alright, let me close my message. Come with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and verse 16. Next year from February, we are going to start to have midweek services. I hope and pray that you come to those ones. Because there are many things that I can't say now. But when we start having those services, I'm going to go deep. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16.
2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 16.
No, sorry. Let's first read. Second Timothy chapter 2 Read it for me from verse 1 up until verse 4.
Second Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
No man that weareth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
Now therefore, read verse 3 again.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier.
Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How many want to be a soldier of Jesus Christ?
Right.
How many want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ?
Okay.
Continue.
No man that warreth
entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Hey, listen to me. So the apostle here is explaining that one thing that stops us from being a good soldier of Jesus Christ is entanglements. He says that when you are entangled, you cannot be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And in the book of Hebrews, he explains it to us that it is sin that entangles us. So if we do not lay aside this sinful nature, this life of not being governed by the word of God, and if we fight to be close to God, then we become good soldiers of Jesus Christ. But if we continue allowing our sinful nature to keep leading and guiding us, if we live a lawless life that is not governed by the word of God, and if we are far from God, we do not make the effort to study his word, we do not make the effort to pray, then we cannot be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We must be good soldiers of the King. Many years ago, I read a book written by a man of God called Rick Joyner. The title of the book is called The Torch and the Sword. If I'm not mistaken. Now, this book, see, this man of God that I'm telling you about, he prayed for almost 20 years. How many years? 20 years. Asking God to reveal himself through visions, dreams, and revelations. And 20 years later, God finally answered him. Ask your neighbor, how long have you been praying about that issue? And you've already given up. Now, when that man of God has visions, he will sit down on his couch, put his notebook on the table, and he will sit. And then when he sits like this, he falls into a vision. He's suddenly in another world. Then someone knocks on the door. The vision will pause. He will go open the door. Hey, what's the problem? Oh, okay, no, all right, thank you, bye. and then sits on his chair again. And the vision starts where he stopped and continues playing like that. One day he said he was sleeping. And suddenly he heard noise on the other room. And he said, he thought to himself that robbers have entered his house. So he came out angry. To his shock, angels were sitting there talking and laughing. And the angels didn't know that he could see them. So the angel was surprised. Hey, he can see us.
And
suddenly they just disappeared. So this is the type of person I'm telling you about. So he wrote this book. The book is called The Final Quest. I just remembered.
The Final Quest.
And he said he had a vision. And in this vision, he saw two armies. The first army belonged to God, which is basically Christians. And the second army belonged to the devil. Hello? And he said he looked at the army of Satan. And he said they were positioned in ranks. Like a professional army. And one group, they specialize in one thing. And another group specialized on another thing. And another group specialized on another thing. And they were marching in order. And then he said he watched the army of God. So when he looked at the army of God, are you here? He was shocked at what he saw. He said, God's people, I don't know if you guys know hippies. Have you ever heard of hippies? How can I explain? Okay, I'll explain it in my language, okay? He said that God's people were just a bunch of groovists. Groovists.
How much ever?
Yeah.
How? Amen.
The army of the devil was coming towards them. And God's people were unaware. Just living unawares of the danger that was coming towards them. No focus about life. No difference between them and the world. But it was God's army. That's why Paul said, endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It means that you can be a bad soldier. You can be a horrible soldier. I hear that ngenkatsiga shaka Zulu.
In the days of Shaka.
If you come back and you've got scars on your back, they finish you off. Because they say that you are running away, you are not fighting. In other words, you are a bad soldier. You know, Mam Ruti, I've been pastoring now, pastoring a church since 2013-14, somewhere there. Almost 10 years. Next year will be 10 years of pastoring. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Not as a Christian, I've been serving God for longer. And this year, I began to notice something that's bothering me. Whereby I'll pray for someone. And God will touch the person. But after some weeks, or sometimes some months, the person back to the exact same thing. That either they were healed from, delivered from, whatever it is that God did for them. And it really bothered me this year. I said, Lord, why? Because I saw you touching the person. And the person was touched, really. They were healed or delivered or whatever. But now, how come they are going through the same thing again? And recently, I got my answer. Is the problem is the current Christian culture where Christians don't want to do anything. The Bible says when a demon is cast out of a person, it goes about looking for another place. If it doesn't find, it goes back to where it came out from. And the Bible says, if it returns and finds the place clean and empty. Empty means that from the time that the demon was cast out till the time that the demon comes back, the person didn't read their Bible, the person didn't pray, the person didn't fast, the person didn't do anything to build themselves. So when the demon comes back, but the situation is still the same. And let's make sure that that pastor doesn't deal with me again. And he goes and calls seven of his friends whom he knows that are stronger than him. He said, let's go. I know a place. And they will go in there. And the Bible says the situation of the person will be even worse than before. Why? Because there's the Christian doesn't want to do anything. Doesn't
want to
do anything. And therefore, you see a Christian living just in a circle. They feel better, they get a bit better, then back to the same thing. Then they feel a little bit better, then back to the same thing. It's just an ongoing cycle that has no end. And it suddenly manifested itself clear to me recently where somebody came to me and said, Pastor, I'm tired. Hey! I said, okay, sorry. No, I said, no, Pastor, I'm tired. And the person was basically explaining to me that life is hard. So I said to the person, you know, you gotta pray. You gotta fight. If you have to fast, you must fast. And the person said, Pastor, I'm tired. And I was trying to show the person that, look, you can fight this thing. And he said, Pastor, I'm tired. Then I said, okay, don't worry, I'll pray for you. He said, thank you, Pastor. Yes. So they don't want to do anything. They just want to go home and sleep. And watch TV. And then me, I must pray for you. Tell him, you're a joker, my friend. You're a joker.
We are thinking some ganam.
You don't want to do anything. You don't want to pray for yourself. Recently, somebody came with an issue. And I said, okay, let me pray. And And to summarize my prayer, I shall shut up. Just to summarize my prayer. Like, that's how short my prayer was. And it solved the problem that the person had. And when I was sitting home and thinking, I said, look how easy I dealt with it. It means that the person could deal with it themselves. But to wake up, to say, oh God, to read the Bible. And just read for a few minutes a day. It's too difficult. That's why the situation is not changing. You are not a good soldier. You are a bad soldier of Jesus Christ. You have been entangled by sleep. You have been entangled by cell phone. You have been entangled by, I don't know, your friends. These amens are very soft today. That's why the apostle says, hey, there are people watching us who have run this race. Every difficulty you can think of, they went through it themselves. And they fought and they overcome. Now they are watching us, hoping that we will also fight and overcome. We have not become good soldiers. In fact, Paul opens by endure hardness. Read it again. They think I'm making it up.
Thou therefore endure hardness.
Endure, what is hardness, Ruth? Is this sweets? Somebody said to me recently, Pastor, God never gave me sweets. I said, hey! Wow. God never gave me sweets in life. Is it sweets? When Paul says, endure hardness, is hardness sweets? Pastor, we take another mabaka.
I'm from this year.
Afterwards, you want me to pray for you.
Got a photo of Funa when I go cool again.
Me, I don't have mabaka.
Minang now, mabaka.
Amabaka, they've turned my head white. Yours haven't done anything to your hair.
Now, come about, I know I don't see Kandarak.
Your mabaka is still joking, your mabaka. Come when your hair is white, then we will talk. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to be good soldiers. We need to be good soldiers. I'll never forget a certain pastor. He said he was leading prayer at his church. And he was, let's pray. And there was a woman sitting there. Just looking around. And the pastor was saying, let's pray. And he will lead another topic and another. And then the pastor felt led by the Lord to say, okay, if you have this type of problem, come, let me pray for you. And the woman came first. And you see, some pastors are not as nice as me. That pastor said to her, I will not pray for you. In front of everyone like this. I was watching it. And he said, when I say let's pray, you are looking around and not praying. Yeah, we kalazi inyon. But now when it's like, let me pray for you, now the person is the first one. Is that a good soldier? That's a bad soldier. The reason for this message that I'm preaching is to say that in 2024, we have to become good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We must fight to be good soldiers. I listen to what I'm saying. So don't allow your life to be entangled. Entangled. Hello? If you allow your life to be entangled, you become a bad soldier. Bad soldier. Some of the things I'm afraid to say. Should I say that? You say this, then you get offended tomorrow. Hallelujah. Don't be entangled. I have a feeling that as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit is giving you visions. And you are seeing the entanglement.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking. I don't want to make the example. The Holy Ghost has made it in front of your eyes. So don't be entangled by those things. And decide that 2024, I want to be a good soldier of my King. You know, when I started Healing Fire Ministry, which is strange because I never felt, because this is the second church I'm starting in now, and I never felt it in my previous church. But when I started Healing Fire Ministry, every time I pray, the Lord tells me that something is in the earth in Naumapias. The enemy has planted something. There are battles that you and I have to fight. Many years ago, I called a group of people to my place where I used to stay. And I said, let's pray. And I began to tell them certain things that the Lord will show me. And we began to pray as a group like that. And one of the people there, I think it's even Mom Ruth Day, but she always forgets these things. She saw witches having a meeting in Naumapias. And they were planning. You know, sleeping really disturbs me.
Okay.
Now I'm going to point you out now. What was I saying? These witches were having a meeting and planning. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what I remember specifically what they were planning about was the new areas that are coming out in Mafias. Do you understand? Like maybe, what do you call? Yeah? Yeovil, Marikana, that area. It's a new area, isn't it? And I think that one that is behind 8 and 7. 24. Isn't it new? Yeah. They were planning on how to take the people for themselves. Many years ago, we were praying for Naumapias. Mom Rudy and I. And one time, Mom Rudy, she saw a car. This car, if I remember correctly, looked like a Mercedes Benz. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the back, where it's supposed to be the boot, was a snake. And a long snake like that. And if I remember, you correct me, I don't know if you remember. If I remember well, When a person went into that car, they became useless in life. Something like that. That's all. Many years ago, we are also praying. And the Lord led me to pray for the schools in Namapias. And one of the things that we fought there was a huge snake that was dealing with the children in the schools. So I'm just trying to explain to you the many problems that are in the area we are living in. It's not a problem that you see with your physical eyes. But until we become good soldiers, the devil will not be even moved that there's a church here. They continue doing whatever they are doing freely, with freedom. Because Christians are entangled. Deeply entangled. And instead of coming to pray, hey, Padolo, hey, la, 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 I say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray, lay your hands on me. Christians, don't even bring Bible to church anymore. I don't even want to talk about notebook.
Exercise.
To write down, to check, Kana, what was that scripture? When I pray, I want to pray it. These amens keep going down as I preach. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have to determine that in 2024 we become good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Problems will not take me down anymore. I have to disentangle myself from the life of sin. Let me finish off by going to Genesis. Let's go back chapter 4, I think it was verse 7. Right, I tried to be short, but we'll try again next week.
Genesis chapter 4 from verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire,
mm-hmm.
and thou shalt rule over him.
And thou shalt rule. Who shall rule over sin? Does it say, and Jesus will rule over the sin for you? Does it say, your pastor will rule over the sin for you? Who will rule over it? Hello? I can't hear you. Yeah. This scripture, by the way, is very scary.
See it too.
Is saying that we have the power over sin. So if you and I decide to stop sinning today, we will stop. Because God said to him, you will rule over it. You will be in control over it. It will not control you. So it's within our power. That whatever it is that is entangling us and causing us not to be good soldiers, we have the power over it. So what I'm personally doing is I want to fight off all my weights and entanglements for the last 3 weeks that are left in 2023. I don't want to go with any weight and entanglement to 2024. And I hope that I can influence you to do the same thing. Because many Christians, I'm not even talking about people who are not Christians. Many Christians are preparing for grooving. They are preparing for grooving. On the 16th of December is one of the grooving days. Oh, am I not? It's a groovish day. You will see Christians living behind their Christianity. I don't know about the 31st of December. It's like the head. They leave it at home. And they just go do silly things. And when they come back in January, it's like anything you say, you are attacking them. So I would rather that the next 3 weeks we have, we prepare for the next year so that we start the year strong. And if we start well, maybe we will finish well also. Hallelujah. Tell a neighbor, I'm going to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your hands together for the Lord. And let's rise to our feet.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to www.healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-5912-858. May God be with you.